Jimmy Butler.
Hey everybody, we heard a lot of that last night. We are the Dynamite Sports Podcast, and we are here to give you our take on the world of sports. This is a very specific Miami Heat-based episode that we're bringing you.
Finally.
Yeah, we had the opportunity, the boys and I, to attend a game at the Kaseya Center in Miami to watch the Miami Heat and the Jazz last night, and we had a good time, didn't we?
I just think it's funny that every single time that that Jimmy Butler scored, there was a Jimmy Butler, and then they would show like the email of Jimmy Butler from the media day, because that's the only picture that they can use of him.
I think that's going to become a yearly thing now, where he just shows up with a weird look with his hair. Because last year he did the super long dreadlocks.
Next year,
oh, that's right.
Next year he should do the Flavor Town haircut.
Oh my God, Guy Fieri.
He said at the beginning of the year that he wants to make the media really mad every beginning of the year.
Yeah, the players hate media day. It's just a thing.
Sure, it is. That's funny that you said the Flavor Town hair. There was a Guy Fieri reference during one of the in-game breaks when they had a little trivia question about Guy Fieri, actually. So we got to take in not only the Heat and the Jazz, but also just the whole vibe of Miami. It is a very unique city in the United States and in Florida. So, guys, what were your impressions of the city of Miami?
God, that traffic was terrible. It's awful.
I think when people like generalize Florida, they're talking about Miami most of the time.
Yes, well, when they're talking about Florida drivers, for sure. I've never seen that many overpasses in my life. Good night. I felt like I was driving through like a science fiction city.
I've never seen that many people cut across lanes without their blinker. Like, there was like 10.
When we were going through the neighborhoods, I loved how it was just houses. And then you see, it looked like Ant-Man blew up one of the giant bicycle helmets, and it's Lone Depot Park right in the middle of this neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
Also, there's like a Pollo Tropical like in the middle of the neighborhood. Not necessarily attached to any specific streets. Just surrounded by like four
why
houses.
Why are the stadiums just like in the middle of the neighborhood? I'm so confused on that.
Kaseya at least is downtown. Lone Depot Park is literally in the middle of the neighborhood.
Yes, it is in the heart of Little Havana.
Good night.
Lots of little, you know, single family dwellings, very modest homes.
A lot of apartment buildings.
Apartment buildings, bodegas, and then this
giant...
Abuelita
sitting outside in their nightgowns, smoking cigarettes on the balcony. Man, there's nothing like it.
No, there's nothing like it. There was
literally nothing like it. Not even Havana is like that, I would guess. It's like nobody was city planning. Yep. There was no city planning. They just built things where they wanted to build
things.
There
was none.
And I think it's beautiful.
The Google Map directions were just like complete zigzags. You'd like...
Turn,
you
know. Right.
Everybody's also right. Moving there yesterday for some reason. I saw like three different U-Hauls full of like things. Like people's actual like dressers and stuff.
And also one of the buildings looked like Megatron and Starscream were about to jump out of it and fight Optimus Prime.
That's true as well.
Yeah, right across the Kaseya Center, we walked by a building, and I said, I think a Decepticon is going to, like...
Like the Space Needle crossed with the Avengers Tower.
And it's also, like, 3D printed.
Yeah, like 3D printed as well.
So, finding parking was a challenge, but we managed to do that, and then we had to walk a few blocks to Kaseya Center. Quite a busy area, so many high-rises, so many people down there on Biscayne Boulevard, where Kaseya Center is, making our way up to the stadium. It is a very nice stadium on the water, though. They had a lot of live music playing, and there was just a different vibe in the crowd, being in a crowd in Miami as opposed to the games we're used to attending in Tampa. I mean, Tampa has quite a Latin flavor. It has quite a Cuban population, but nothing can touch the city of Miami.
I would also like to say that the parking passes we were sold were a 34-minute walk from the arena. How is that possible? That's like a different city.
Yeah, so we double paid for parking. We found much better parking close by. So full disclosure, when we head down there, my father, the boy's grandfather, is Cuban, so we definitely wanted to partake in the culture. We spent a lot of time in Little Havana and visited two staples. We made sure we worked in a visit to La Carreta, and then across the street, the iconic Versailles restaurant. So, guys, how was the Cuban cuisine in Miami?
Oh my God, those croquetas were so good.
I didn't even taste like ham. It was just good.
It was just heavenly. I had roast pork, and that roast pork, it was so juicy that the whole plate had like...
It was like a puddle of mojo. Like,
it was so good.
I don't think the waiter expected two white boys to order meterva and jupina.
It's true.
She just heard that and she was like...
Mm, she okay. looked at... Yeah, she did a double take with the boys ordering some truly Cuban dishes. And then I had something called plantain pie, which had a layer of plantains.
That looked really good too.
A layer of picadillo, another layer of plantains, and then cheese on top. That was a good take home. And then our nightcap was at Versailles at the bakery across the street, and there were some really good treats to cap the night.
I got myself a medianoche. That was a very good sandwich.
And I had three more croquetas.
So, obviously, we did well on the food side. But getting back to the game, the Jazz took on the Heat. We went in with not much expectation for a Jazz team that is below 500, 27-34. Really no names that we recognized coming into the game.
Speak for yourself. Oh, man, okay. You're at 7? Are you kidding me? You don't know who that is? Lauri Markkanen? Not an F1 driver, Dad.
Yeah, I know. I asked Tyler. I said, isn't he an F1 driver?
No.
At 7-1, he's not going to fit in one of those cars.
He's just a free throw merchant. 11 of 12 from the line. 11 of his points were from free throws. He only had 25.
At 7-1, he might as well just put it in the basket.
I don't think he made a two-pointer. I think it was all threes other than that.
Yeah. He had like three threes in a row.
Yep. And so they were actually led in scoring by Keontae George. He's only been averaging 12 points a game this season. He put up 31 against the Heat in a surprising battle. The Jazz were up after the first quarter and were up at halftime as well. So they had the Heat on the ropes for a little while before the Heat really turned it on in the second half.
Yeah, playoff Jimmy is awake, and there's nothing you can do about it. He had 18 points in the third quarter.
Yeah. The third quarter was something to marvel at.
Wow. He also smoked a layup and then made a post on Instagram where he referenced it and posted the video. I've never seen a superstar do that. Then again, we've also never seen the superstar, you know, rock the emo fade. Never seen that at all. And I think that this Heat team is primed to make another run. Which is incredibly surprising, given that they made no roster adjustments besides losing pieces after last season when they lost the title. And they were a play-in team, again, like 2 minutes from losing to the Chicago Bulls. And here we are. We lost Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, two of the biggest contributors in that playoff run. And we're still sitting at basically the same spot we were at the end of last regular season.
Talk about Max Strus, dude. He put up like... a clinic at the end of that game.
For who?
For the Cavs.
I did not watch that game. I thought you were about to say the Heat and I was going to scold you.
No.
The Heat had quite a few contributors. I was impressed with the amount of time, amount of bench minutes that they had yesterday. They had six players score in double digits, led by Jimmy Butler with 37.
And they also had Caleb Martin come off the bench with 18 and 23 minutes. Incredibly efficient. And I, honestly, what's going to carry this team in the postseason is their depth. Not a lot of teams can say that they can rotate 9 players in the playoffs. And this team very well could rotate 9, if not 8.
I mean, at least 8 of those players could start on any other team. And something that I saw... I believe it was Stephen A. Smith say, actually, every other team should be scared of the Heat.
They really should be, because we've proved like time in and time out that Jimmy and Bam by themselves can carry this team through the postseason. And they did it again last night without Tyler Herro, who is on minutes restriction
again.
Which
is another person to add to that rotation.
Right,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, Rozier had a little moment where he kind of took over the game for a little bit. Jaquez certainly gave 29 minutes off the bench, was actually the fifth most minutes in the game. And then he had some contributions from Robinson and as you mentioned, Caleb Martin.
And Haywood Highsmith's defense also can't be overlooked. He had a run where he forced like 3 turnovers in
a
row.
Yeah, he did.
Had the big dunk. And another guy we didn't see last night was Dellen Wright, who we got on the buyout market out of Washington.
And Thomas Bryant.
Who carried a couple games. Well, Thomas Bryant's been suspended. This was his last game out. I think he's back in a couple days. I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah,
I think they sit
Pistons
today and tomorrow. Uh-huh. And then you know, we unfortunately had to see a lot of Orlando Robinson minutes. It's probably not going to happen. He had 4 rebounds and 4 points, and I think those were his only contributions to the stat line. So,
and 4 fouls.
Yeah.
That's a very Tyler stat line.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I think Megan. I looked down the line and said that during the game. I said, oh, that's Tyler's stat line right there.
Yeah, real Dennis Rodman kind of stat line. maybe even a... what's the name of the Lakers power forward?
Kurt Rambis.
Yeah.
Yes. So, the Heat looked prime for a run, certainly, and Butler just took over the game in glorious fashion, driving to the basket, drawing fouls, getting himself to the line.
Not dunking.
Yeah, that just befuddles me. he can – so many opportunities. There were a couple of opportunities where he had, like, an easy dunk. He tried to lay it in, and he would miss it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler as well last night goes 3-for-3 from three. He's now shooting 45.8% from three on the year, which is a higher mark than both LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Wow. I was also a little bit disappointed. I've been watching and reading a lot about the contributions that Duncan Robinson's doing, been giving this year, going from kind of a bench contributor to being a regular on the court. He missed a lot of three-pointers.
He did. It was an off night for him. He's getting a lot more attention. There is a certain statistic that you can look at. I follow this guy on Twitter. He found a way to measure a player's gravity offensively when they're on the court. And Duncan Robinson at one point in, I think it was 2020, during the bubble, had the second greatest gravity ever recorded, behind only Shaquille O'Neal. which is just a testament to the way Duncan has been able to shoot over those seasons. He has struggled as of the last couple. He came alive again in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. and we're just hoping that, you know, he comes back.
Absolutely. So the Heat were exciting. The city was exciting as well. I think one of you guys mentioned that you definitely have to know Spanish to navigate in Miami.
That was me.
Yeah.
Every street has two names.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're all preceded by either northwest, southwest, northeast, or southeast, and they all have the same names.
Yeah,
it's like 7th Street Road.
Street Road. Yes, yeah, it's a street road.
You really got to clarify that.
So it was a great time that we had. I know the boys are also chomping at the bit to talk about, like, the NFL Combine and NFL free agency. We're actually sitting down watching linemen run, the very exciting part of
Mason McCormick from I Don't Know University.
It
looks
combine.
Like a picture of a jackrabbit.
As we record. So we will pump out a podcast later in the week where we talk about some NFL angles, because I know they are very excited about those as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the wow. name of the guy that
very
ran the 4-2-1?
Oh, Xavier Worthy.
Okay, thank you.
We were throwing it to Trey there because he didn't know earlier.
Well, we could talk about the guy that ran a 4-2-1. You're making fun of me.
He'll be fine.
All right.
Yeah, so, you guys do it all the time.
Yeah, that's what you're good for. It's fine. All right, so we will be back later in the week with another podcast, but thank you for listening to our Miami-based podcast. Thank you, Noah, for the vocal intro. But for now, we are out of here with a...